Okay, we'll call to order the this Board of Commissioners January 31st, 2024 at 2:12 p.m. We start this meeting with a prayer reading or thought and the pledge. Is there any volunteers that would like to start us out with a prayer reading or thought and or I said it last meeting, so I mean,
I can say a prayer this morning.
Thank you, absolutely. Commissioner Gardner. It's just like at my house, you know, a lot of crickets when that's asked for. And anyone that would like to lead us in the pledge, that's done. Okay, thank you.
We'll start with that. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity that we have to gather together as citizens here in Utah County. We thank Thee that we are blessed to live in a nation where we can have open meetings and a free discourse. We ask that Thou bless us with wisdom and discernment, and also with an attitude of cooperation and kindness. And we thank Thee for the wonderful sunshine we have, but ask that Thou send some rain for our land. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Eric Edwards will lead us in the pledge.
Please repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, recognition of the February Employee of the Month. I'll turn this one over to Commissioner Gardner, and she will lead this discussion.
Yeah, so our Employee of the Month this month is Sherry Keel in the Immunization Department. That was the most fantastic reaction. You guys really got her good.
They are full of it.
Well, hopefully this nomination isn't full of it, so we'll see. I'll read it and you can let us know.
Okay.
Yeah, it says, if you want to meet one of the nicest people on the planet, then you should go to this person's office. She is always, and I really mean always, happy and positive. She has one of the most stressful jobs in the health department, but you would never know it by how she acts. She handles all calls from either staff or clients in the nicest, friendliest way possible. Sherry is one of those people with lots of energy and can't sit still. Sherry's married to Sam, and they have 7 kids, 4 boys and 3 girls. She enjoys many activities, such as jumping out of airplanes and sneaking onto the set of Hallmark movies. I think there's a story there. She also loved sports. She played sports throughout high school and played softball and volleyball in college. Hang gliding is next on her bucket list, along with anything else that most of us would not even consider sane. Sherry gets everyone's day off to a great start by leading the group in a sing-along of Good Morning from Singing in the Rain. This position requires her attention to detail on every task. She reviews every claim for correctness before it goes to the insurance companies, and any denials are resolved promptly so claims don't go past the timely filing deadline. Sherry makes paying your bills fun and pleasant, and not many people can say that. She is the best coworker. She definitely deserves Employee of the Month. She is dependable, cheerful, smart, and every office needs a Sherry. So Sherry, thank you so much. So what we'll have you do is come up and give us a few words. Let us know if this was true. And then we'll take a picture with you up front. Yep. All right, now.
Can you repeat after me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Talk the whole night through.
Love it. I'm going to leave the envelope here for the picture, but it's got some goodies for you.
Ready?
1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Of course, we have to get ours.
Didn't do the 1, 2, 3. He's not a dance teacher like
still. Still. Still.
Well, thank you for the work you do.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now is the moment where we build our consent agenda, and I'll begin by asking the commissioners if they would like to hold any items 1 through 10.
I have none.
Do we, on item number 7?
Yeah, we can strike item number 7. The sheriff will have authority to enter into that agreement by himself.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay. Strike item 7. Okay. Any others, Commissioner Gardner?
Nope.
Okay, items 11 through 19.
I think we're good there.
Commissioner,
I am good with those.
Okay. And 20 through 29.
I had none.
I have none to hold.
Okay. Looking at 30 through 39.
I'd like to talk through 39 if we may.
Okay. Hold item 39. And then 40 through 45.
On 41, if we could continue, that until the next meeting, we should be able to get everything buttoned
up
by then.
Can continue that to February 21st?
February 21st. Good.
Did we have?
And then
any of the tax actions we need
wanting to,
hold
45.
Yeah.
And maybe have some discussion on that.
Yep.
The tax recommendation letter.
Yep. That was the only one I had.
Okay. Any others from you, Commissioner Sakovic? Alice, did we lose the connection with? I only see a couple on the line.
Okay, we just need to denote for the minutes that we're down while we finish this, and then if he jumps back on.
Okay. As far as closed sessions, Glenn, I don't think Richard had any. We do on item
47.
Oh yes, I did have holding 47, but
not 46, 48.
We'll strike 46, 48. And 49.
Okay.
I didn't hear if Commissioner Sakovic wanted to hold anything from. We're going to continue 41, and then hold 45. So, if he comes back on and wants, oh, he is okay. Terrific. Okay. He just had that one item 39 to discuss. Okay.
Okay.
You got that, Alice?
I'll put you up to the speakerphone here in just a second. Okay. Let's do it this way. Okay. Just a second. Do you want me to read back?
Yes, please.
Just one second, Commissioner. Okay. I have us striking on consent agenda items number 7. And then holding 39. Continuing 41 to the next commission meeting, which is February 21st, holding 45. And then as far as closed meetings, we're going to hold as stated 47, but striking 46, 48, and 49.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much. All right, item 39. Ordinance amending the Government and Records Management Act appeal procedures to require appeals to be sent to the county administrator.
Adam Beck, County Attorney's Office. For your information, the code as it is currently written, if a grammar requester were to want to appeal a decision of the county to the Chief Administrative Officer, which is our Board of Commissioners, currently the appeal needs to go to the chair of the board. And what this new, this ordinance is doing is instead of having the appeal or the request for the appeal to go to the chair, it's going to go to the county administrator, which is Ezra. So that's how you would initiate the appeal process.
And for those that don't know, I mean, appeals happen if there's, well, and I'll let you maybe answer that question.
Yeah, Utah County gets a lot of requests for government records. Government Record Access and Management Act is the acronym, GRAMA. And we get almost 2,000 a year right now. And if there's a denial, we say the record's protected, or if we make some redactions, charge a fee, those are all grounds to appeal. And then on appeal to the Chief Administrative Officers, the Board of Utah County Commissioners can uphold that appeal or deny the appeal. And so there's a few reasons why you could appeal a denial for government records. And so that's what this process is.
So now this channels it to the county administrator, Ezra Nair. And
yeah, the reason behind that is with our rotating board chair every year, we've had a number of requests that have been submitted to the wrong individual, and so it's hard to consider them as hitting the appeal deadline when it's being routed the wrong way. So this would allow them to get routed to me, and then I could work with you guys on figuring out what we want to do with those.
Any questions, Commissioner Sakovich?
Yeah, the concern I have is that it's already onerous. If we add one person to the mix, will it make it all the more difficult to work through the process?
I think it's intended to do the opposite. I think it's intended to clean it up so that it gets straight to the administrator and then on to the right through the channels. There's been some that has sat in, like Commissioner Gardner. A lot of people still think she's the chair. And so she's still getting them, and they're not getting to me, and then the time frame sometimes is so tight. So I think the intention is to really make it a lot more streamlined. That's the way I saw it.
No, I agree with that concept. I support that concept. What I'm concerned about is that it's the county administrators to be sent to.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Could you repeat that one more time, Commissioner?
Sure. What my concern is that the ordinance proposal is requiring the appeals to be sent to a county administrator. Mm-hmm. That's my concern. It could be a log jam as well as administrative jam is what I'm concerned about.
Well, and to the point that Ezra brought up before, there's been a few grammar appeals where the requester has sent their appeal to Laura Mendoza from our office or myself or Mr. Jones. One of the senior policy advisors that is not the senior policy advisor for the chair, and the clock doesn't start ticking until it gets to the chair. And so Ezra pointed out that commissioners are changing every year, but the county administrator is not going to change as often. And the county administrator is going to be comfortable with the process, know who needs to get the information when, and we'll be able to, I think, better gauge when the clock starts to tick on the appeal if it goes to the county administrator. Would you agree with that, Ezra?
Yeah, it's it's the language in the proposal that has me a bit concerned. That's all. I understand the process. We've been using it for now for some time. I'm just concerned that the language we add to this particular agenda item may be a more of a stumbling block than necessary. We're limited to the administrator, not to others.
And is it my understanding, I mean, I'm reading it as a may, and so if it still comes to the chair, does the clock start ticking, or the clock will start ticking as soon as it gets to the administrator?
Let me double check here.
I think the may is going to that they may appeal.
Okay.
But if they do appeal, then it must go to the county
county's chief administrative officer.
With the county administrator. And so, if Commissioner Sakovich has a concern about, I'm looking at the suggested revised language here. I'm not sure what the confusion is or what part of it he's not, that you're not happy with there, Commissioner, but it's, yeah. If you want to appeal, you would have to appeal to the chief administrative. You'd send your appeal to the county administrator, but then it would still be heard by the county commissioners for decision.
Right. It would just give the media and or the public one person to go to instead of having to figure out who the commission chair is that year.
A more consistent person to appeal to.
Yeah, right. No,
so it's less confusing.
I get that. I'm just concerned that the language is requiring a specific position to hear this rather than more broadly as we've done in the past.
So in the past, it my position in here, the county administrator was replaced by the chief administrative officer, which would be the chair of the commission. So it still needs to have one person that it goes to. This would just provide that one person to not be rotating every year and hopefully cut down
that.
I
get that. It simply says requires appeals to be sent to the county administrator. I'm concerned about the language being boxing in processes.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from you, Commissioner Garner?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
I feel comfortable making a motion to approve the item as stated.
Okay. I can second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
One aye. Okay. I'll have to oppose it.
Okay. All right. Moving on to item 45, the property tax actions recommendation letter. Adam, let's see here. Were there any specifics, items? I recognize some people that are here today for certain items that perhaps you want to discuss. Or do you want to do that before I ask the commissioners if they have any items?
Okay. I know that of two that are here, and there's some applicants who I believe would like to speak on those items. And there may be more, or there may be some that you'd like to discuss. And so we could do those after we've heard from the two that are here.
Okay. Historically, we set a shot clock for something like that. It's my first go around as chair. Okay. Just as long as, I guess, we're not being repetitive with a lot of the information if we've been through Board of Equalization and other things. I guess.
Yeah, and I do think, and it is helpful to let them know what the recommendation is, because there are some people that come and the recommendation is to approve, and so they don't want to have to do everything knowing.
Understood.
Not approve
it. Yeah.
Okay.
So no shot clock. I think we're good as far as the shot clock. We might public comment later. We'll have public comment right at the end of the meeting. So have that. But okay, Adam.
Okay. The first that we can talk about now is the Milks Properties LLC. If you recall, this item came before the Board of Equalization back in November. Some of the relevant facts of the case, the applicant purchased a property, and then shortly thereafter, our office determined that the property was not meeting production. Under the Farmland Assessment Act, or Greenbelt, as it's commonly known, the property needs to have the acreage requirement and a production requirement. And if they no longer meet those requirements, or one of those requirements, there is assessed a rollback tax of 5 years. Or if the applicant applied less than 5 years, it would roll back to the point of when the application was. In this matter, it's my understanding that there is not production. It's my understanding that they don't have an intent to produce at this point. It's my understanding that the property is going to be used for a motorcycle racing, a racetrack. I want to make it clear that this is not a hearing to determine if this is an acceptable use of the property. The question is whether the rollback tax should be paid. And so because this is a tax that is put on all Greenbelt applicants, as soon as they no longer meet the requirements for Greenbelt, we assess a rollback and they pay it. And so that is the recommendation from the county, is that because this property no longer meets the Greenbelt requirements, that the applicant pay the rollback tax.
And the recommendation I see is to deny the request on this letter, correct?
Correct.
And then, and again, I think a lot of, from my understanding of the Board of Equalization meeting was, you know, Chris buys the property in September and was unaware, right, of the status, right? So then he gets this huge bill, and so.
Sure. If you're on Greenbelt, you also have a lien on the property. So it would show, if you did a title search, that there was this tax preference in place.
Okay. And then Chris, or your attorney, sorry, I forgot your name, but Brady, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd love to add just a couple brief things. I know this commission is well aware of the facts, so I don't want to belabor those issues much in for the sake of brevity. But with respect to the facts, I do want to clear up, there are a few, I think, misstated facts. Shortly after the purchase, it was the factual outline is that it was determined that the property did not meet the production requirements. That's not exactly correct. It was determined at least 2 years before Mr. Millichamp purchased the property that this property did not meet the production requirements. In fact, if we go back to the factual exposition on this is a 15 and a half acre tract. Mr. Millichamp, through Milk's Properties, purchased it in September. The next month, in October, he received the letter from the county, and specifically Ms. Garcia, and Ms. Garcia indicated that she'd been driving by this property for at least the last 2 years, and that she knew that this didn't meet the production requirement well before this purchase. The question is why the county waited until this changed hands to go ahead and pull this out of rollback. That's the issue that Mr. Millichamp's had. He's a taxpayer. He's paid all his taxes. He's a businessman here in the area. He pays all his taxes. This isn't about avoiding taxes. This is about a imposition of rollback taxes that could have been corrected long before we ever got to this point. That's the purpose for the that's one of the purposes for the application here. Mr. Millichamp is requesting that this commission see this for what it is, see that the facts here maybe justify looking at this a little differently than perhaps it might look at other rollback tax situations. Number one, for the factual outlay, for the way that this happened, the way that this occurred, And number two, for the effect that it's going to have on his reason for purchasing this property and the use that he intends to put to this land for the community. That was the issues that we discussed at the equalization hearing, and that's what we're back here to discuss again. Again, this is a somewhat odd situation in how this happened, where we've got admitted testimony from the county that the county was aware that this property didn't meet the production requirements as early as 2 years prior to this purchase. But yet, a month after my client purchases the property, the rollback is assessed when this could have easily been handled if this would have been initiated just before or at the time of the purchase. This could have been dealt with in the sale. What this is really going to do, frankly, is require Mr. Millichamp to pass the costs on to the kids that he bought this property for. If you'll recall, yes, this is being used as a motocross track. This land is being used to develop higher level riders in the area and to give them opportunity and training opportunities so they can compete more on the local and national stage. This is something that is good for this community. The other portion of this property is being used as equestrian purposes. It's a covered arena where kids can come and ride horses. This is something that kids can do that's productive, that's not on their phones, and is something that I think is really beneficial for the community. And the reason I point that out, because I realize this is not a hearing to determine land use, but this is because the cost, the imposition of these taxes on Mr. Millichamp, he's going to have to pass them off to the kids. And he doesn't want to have to do that. The whole purpose of this is not a profitable venture for him. He loses a lot of money on this, trying to give this opportunity for these kids. And what he's asking for today is the opportunity for the county to recognize his efforts to make this available, this track available for the kids who really need it in the area. And that's why he's asking for an abatement. Do you have any questions on the application for the abatement that I can discuss?
I do not. Do you, Commissioner?
I don't.
Commissioner Sakovich?
No, I don't have any questions on this.
Okay.
Well, with that, I'll cede. I thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. So this is newer for me. Trying to maintain consistency and obviously I'm sympathetic to the idea, right? You just buy it in September and then you get this, you get hit with this, and you know, whether, you know, arguments of the two, like I see that argument, you know, if we admittedly could have rolled back, that would have fell on the previous landowner. They would have fell out of Greenbelt or had an adjustment perhaps, right, at the time. I think I said in BOE, I appreciate the candid honesty about it being a track and not, you know, oftentimes where we try to, you know, continue our farmland assessment, our Greenbelt status as landowners without, you know, being 100%, you know, really doing what, you know what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate Chris being forthright with that. So having said that, I just don't
really know her. And it is very common that oftentimes after a property changes hands, that's what triggers the review of Greenbelt. So there are a lot of properties that have fallen out of production, but there's just a sheer volume of them that we can't manually review every one of them. And so we typically review them when something gets triggered, and the change of property is oftentimes what triggered. I myself had that when I purchased my farm. I got a greenback rollback letter, and I had to go through the process of proving production because me purchasing the property is what triggered that. That is, it's unfortunate, but it's not uncommon merely because we don't have the sheer volume that we have, right, as a county. I understand the idea of not wanting to pass this on to the kids, but the other option is if we don't pass this on to the kids, we pass this on to every other taxpayer in the county, right? So in fact, at that point, we're passing this on to starving students and single moms and elderly homeowners on fixed incomes who aren't using the track, right? So we have to look at this holistically with the whole county. We have a fixed rate, and that fixed rate gets split up amongst our property owners. And so if you're not paying your portion of it, then somebody else is paying it. It doesn't mean we just go without. We live in a zero-sum game when it comes to property tax, particularly in the general fund. And then you also look at that if you're not paying it. I mean, look what the general 70% of our general fund is criminal justice. It's prosecuting crimes. It's enforcing crimes. It's defending with the public defenders. It's the Children's Justice Center. And the vast majority of the remainder of it is the elections. So these are proper role of government. These are public safety concerns, and they're funded through property tax. And that tax, if we're not assessing it to this property owner, we're assessing it to other property owners, right? So we have to keep that into mind. So as we look at this, the timing is unfortunate, but it is also not uncommon. And passing it on, I think there's ways that we could work on maybe a payment plan that would bring this over time, that would help with the impact, so that we don't have an initial impact that is big. But I understand there's a moral appeal here of, hey, this is for the kids, but there's also a moral appeal of, right, and if this property isn't paying it, then everybody else is.
May I speak to that for just a moment? Because I absolutely appreciate the dialogue and the discourse related to that. And I think there is just a couple of things that maybe are a little more odd about the situation. Because I recognize, and in fact, there are statutory provisions relating to the transfer of ownership and obligations to report whether it meets the production requirements. I'm not blind to that fact. And certainly changes of ownership do trigger this. But this is a little different situation because we have admittedly the county testifying in essence in conversation with Mr. Millichamp that she has driven by this property. She says that she lives. She says, I'm familiar with this property. I live out in the county and I drive past this property every day. And I can tell you that this property hasn't met production requirements for at least the last 2 years. So this isn't something that the change of hands triggered. This is something completely different. This is a situation where the county was admittedly aware of the lack of production requirements from the prior owner for at least 2 years prior to the sale and did nothing about taking this out of Greenbelt, so that causing this situation. Like that is not, I appreciate the thought in changing hands, because look, you have a daunting task. There's a lot of property in this county. I don't pretend to understand how daunting that is to try to determine whether every property in Greenbelt is meeting production requirements, but that's not where we're at here.
So on the flip side, do you think that employee sits around and watches Netflix all day and just doesn't do their job? Or do you think that maybe they were driving home from work and happened to see it, but it didn't come through their queue because it didn't change hands yet?
So in the conversation with Mr. Millichamp, Ms. Garcia was very frank about it. She said, I know that this property hasn't
met production. Right, because she drives past it on a daily basis, right. But her queue is full. Her queue is full as she's reviewing new properties going into Greenbelt, existing properties for Urban Farm, and all of the properties that change hands for Greenbelt. So her queue is full.
She would have to have been on a 2-year queue.
Correct. We actually have enough work that we need a second person. So not only is she on a 2-year queue, but she's probably closer to being on a 5-year queue.
I'm not trying to disparage Ms. Garcia. That's not what my point is at all. I'm not trying to disparage anyone in the county.
But
I'm
she's
just saying
legitimately
this is something that
is on
this
like
is
a
situation
queue
that I think could have been avoided. It hasn't been avoided. We're here. We're asking for what we're asking for based on the facts that exist right now. And I don't know what happened, and I don't know what the issue was, and I don't know Ms. Garcia's workload. I'm sure she's under a tremendous strain as well. Mr. Millichamp is also under a similar strain.
Right. Is Mr. Millichamp aware that there was a lien on that property showing it was in Greenbelt?
No, he was not aware of that until
so,
after.
But I would talk to my title company.
No, and I understand that too. I'm not saying that there isn't other
perhaps the title company
avenues.
Had a 2-year queue.
Yeah. Okay.
Are
assessor is looks like he wants to say something.
Sure.
So, Bert Garfield, county assessor. I think it's kind of interesting because sometimes we're criticized for taking people off Greenbelt too soon. So we keep an eye on things. We don't necessarily knee-jerk a reaction to everything that looks like it's out of production. We keep an eye on things. That issue about her saying that she saw it for 2 years was probably because it came up in BOE and she was just referring to it. We give people a chance to get back into production. We don't take them out of Greenbelt the second they stop. So if you wanted us to do that, you would. That's a different ball game. So there's a lien on the property. The property the buyer presumably would have known about that. So we're not in the habit of taking people off Greenbelt the second we see production stop because things happen. People have bad luck. Sometimes it's a bad year. We're not going to take them off Greenbelt just at that moment. So we just monitor a lot of things. Okay.
Thanks, Bert. My question is also because it sounds like it was talked about, like, I still go back to the heartburn, right? Of I buy this in September and it's like, wow, 60. What's the number?
87,000.
87, excuse me.
Right.
87,000. Historically, has there ever been any conversations of, like you talked about payment plans.
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering, this out, making this more
is this
palatable.
The appropriate time to say, have we discussed all options for like, you know?
Great question, Commissioner. Certainly, if there's an interest by the applicant to enter into a payment plan, we could work on that and get that before you for approval.
Yeah, I would like to hold this and see if we can do something that can make this more palatable for the homeowner. So, I'll make a motion to strike this item for future reference so that we can work on something that at least doesn't give him a $67,000 debt.
And 80.
80, sorry.
87. Maybe if we keep 80. Saying it, it'll go down to that. But
well, I think, well,
I don't
the
have a magic
requested
wand,
abatement amount was 63. That's what I said.
Okay, that's maybe where I was going. I'll use that as my excuse. However, who will they communicate then with going forward?
They would communicate with me.
Terrific. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So right. Let's.
So
I hear.
A, should help resolve the whole thing then. Okay.
Hopefully so. So I hear a motion to strike that item.
Yeah, to strike that item for future consideration with hopefully some sort of a plan that brings this over time.
Okay.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. That passes. So we'll continue that discussion and
there is another application.
Okay.
We wanted to speak about, and that's Mr. Vic Devano's matter. I'll give him an opportunity to speak. This one, The owner states that he paid $1,000 towards an inaccurate property tax. In speaking with the treasurer's office, the tax was applied correctly. Part of it was applied towards the 2023 tax, the county tax, and then the rest was applied towards a 2022 balance. And so, I'll let Vic talk and we can answer any questions that you might have. But as far as the $1,000 that is mentioned in the application, it's a accurately applied tax. And so the county's recommendation is to deny the application because it was applied correctly.
Okay. Okay, I see that.
I don't know. I my name is Vic Devano. I've been a taxpayer for over 40 years, and I'm totally mystified that talking about $1,000. The Sundance Association, North Fork Association, put about $17,000 onto that and asked the county to collect it and to put it on the bill, and that's what I'm here to talk about. I'm not talking about $1,000. I'm talking about $17,000 of a cabin that has been was ruined, was abandoned. I asked Sundance, they wanted to use it, and I said, go ahead. I'm right on the corner across from Redford's office. It's a walk in, walk out, ski in, ski out. And I'm redoing the cabin in 24, 25. But we're talking about, I've owned that cabin since the, let's see, what was it? 2000. So it's 24 years. And I have a water share, which I donated to the to use, and that we have. And we're not part of the regular association that's in Sundance, where there's five cabins that are right there. And this was one of the original Stewart and Lilo Martin cabins. And I bought it from Lilo Martin. He was the first person up there instead of the Stewarts. So there seems to be a little difference of what we're talking about, because we're talking about $6,000 in water, $6,000 in interest, you know, and $4,000 of other items where there's no other items that have been done.
So and today, all we can really make a decision on, though, is this $1,000.
Well, that's not what I applied for. I mean, that's not what I sent. I have my documents right here. I did not send in for the $1,000.
Okay. All we are seeing as commissioners is what I'm saying. So when we start talking about all the other stuff, we don't know anything about that, right? We're only trying to make a decision on the
$1,000. We can continue it. The $1,000, I went in to pay already. So I went into her to square it away, and she said, well, I paid the first part. I didn't pay the other part. But I says, what's that other $17,000 there? And I went up and met with, the problem I have is, you understand, I am a bona fide, certified seven structure fire along with wildland fire. I've been up there since that. And so I've worked for Sundance, and Sundance went completely where they paid. I never got paid, but anybody that lived at Sundance or had a cabin at Sundance got their you know, utilities waived. Because we went twice a month, and I went to at least 400 fires and mostly car accidents from my house from the Canyon Road, 189, all the way up to the top of the dam. I worked with every person that there was from Orem, Provo Fire, police, sheriffs, and Utah Highway Patrol. And so we had so many deals that we had. We took our trucks that were in the transportation shed across from the resort area there, and we would block so people wouldn't be killed. So we had a full-time tanker and everything else there. I was the first one to get there many times because I lived at the base of Sundance Canyon on Palisade Drive. It took me 7 minutes to get there.
So today's item is that you paid $1,000 towards the inaccurate property tax, but you're not disputing.
No, we're not. Yet. We're not disputing.
You did property pay it, saying it was okay. It went to the right property.
Yeah, the property tax is not a problem. I'll pay the property tax.
So as far as today's, what we can do today is accept what is here. We know the $1,000 went, but you'll have further conversations with the assessor's office about the other.
Yeah.
The other stuff.
I mean, I have five more other properties coming to you so that they're in the midst of things that came back from the state because they want you guys to handle it because there's enough of them and there's enough inaccuracies. They said, let's pull it back. And so they did that. So
but I'm as happy far as today, just
I'll pay that this week.
Okay.
And there'll be no property tax as far as that's due, but they have interest. Remember this, the interest that's on that is not the interest on property tax. They have a couple $1,000 interest on the $17,000 interest. Okay? You'd be very mad if you were me. I mean, I worked my butt off up there, gave my time, live partially there, and live at the base of the canyon. All of a sudden, I got this bill, and I go to Dr. Mitten, who's been in charge of the North Fork Association, and then they go private. So they go private, and then all of a sudden, firemen are being paid. We never got paid, you know, so nothing.
Sure.
And all I ever got was just my taxes, which were nothing, because my property valuation was very low because it's an old cabin.
Okay. As far as today's action, I think we're square on that. We'll get with the other stuff down the road. So,
all right. Okay.
Thank you, Vic. Adam, did you have something as your
I just wanted to touch on the Norfolk stuff.
They've got a problem. They assigned it to you guys.
So let me just pull. It's my understanding that yes, there is a fee that is charged by another governmental entity. Mm-hmm. In talking with the treasurer's office, there are a handful of
things, weed abatement and sewer and some water where if they're not in that.
No, he's talking about different districts that we collect the tax.
Yeah,
we collect,
we'll collect the tax. Correct. But then once we collect it, we turn and give it back to them. It's
Benjamin
not really
Cemetery. For
yes.
example.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
It's on your tax bill. But there's a Benjamin Cemetery board.
Yeah, but
same
it's
with
a,
North
it's
Fork.
A property. I mean, it's a property. It's a, the cat the Sundance has always been in the county. We're not separate.
We don't dispute that. But have you spoke with the North Fork board? Is that kind of what you're going to? Yeah.
From looking at the situation, I haven't really delved very deep into it, but it does seem like this is a matter for North Fork. Once we collect this fee, we turn and give it back to them. I don't think that this is a tax or fee that we can abate in this venue.
We don't decide what North Fork assesses.
Except they assigned it to you to collect.
Correct.
Which gives you a fiduciary responsibility to collect or put a waiver on my land or whatever, you know, tax it, you know, a ding, you know, like what happened to the other guy. And I'm just simply saying that I'm asking you to take a look at all the facts, you know, what's happened with North Fork over the years and everything else. I've been up there since 1970. I helped start the Summer Theater. You know, I had United Concerts. You know, we did a lot of different things. And so I've made a lot of money for Robert Redford and everybody else. Of course, they've sold it all now. But my point is I just expect to be treated like any decent landowner that's up there. And I know all the old families and was there around with them and stuff. And I'll abide by the $1,000. But I want to have the discussion. Here again, we need to talk about responsibility when an association passes it on to somebody else to do the collection. The responsibility then comes for them is why are they collecting that money? Is it vital? Is it vibrant? Is it really due? No. Mm. No. I've never had a phone or a sewer. There's no sewer line. My sewer is pumped. You know, so
gotcha.
The fact of it is I've never had the water turned on all those years. When I came up, I took my water with me. So I've never had the water, and he's got like $12,600 in water. I mean, come on.
Okay.
Yeah, so and he signed it to you guys. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Vic. Appreciate the time. I think we got that one. Any other items on the property tax actions recommendation letter?
Anybody else here on that?
Was there anybody else here for that item? Any property tax items? Okay.
Seeing none, I make a motion to approve item number 45 with the one exception that was made earlier.
Okay.
And I concur.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, now is the time where we have public comment. Is there anyone that would like to address the Board of Commissioners? Okay, please come up. Give us a. We'll typically
I just want to say something.
Tell us your name. So
I'm Chris Millicum. I own Barnum X, and I'm super grateful for you guys taking your day out. You know, I understand it. The problem is with me and our society and our system is the accountability. I own multiple businesses. Somebody drops the ball. Somebody does this, there has to be some accountability. Me being charged back the taxes, I'll take accountability of it. But the problem is I know full well, because I talked to the previous owner about this property, that she has not exercised her green belt for 6 years. For 6 years. There were 10 foot of weeds. We mowed it for over a week on 8 acres with a flail mower. Like the weeds were as high as this building. So if there's not accountability on our government workers or our employees or anything, then where do we stand? And I get that Ms. Garcia has stuff on her plate, okay? I have X amount of businesses. There's 20 families here that have 4 businesses on average just to pay for their kids to be on dirt bike. So I have a workload. I promise you it's way more than Diane Garcia. The accountability is what's bothering me, is because it's the principle. If you knew this, then if I knew that I have a car lot, if I knew there's a problem with the tire, I'm not going to neglect it. I'm not going to neglect it. And then the guy buys it, and then it blows a tire and rolls his truck. There has to be some accountability. I knew that the tire was bad. That's called integrity. Okay? So you take out the integrity, and who do we have working for us? I have lot techs that have worked for me for 12 years. Lot techs that don't want to go anywhere else because I hold them accountable. I make them in and I make who they are. This is the problem with what we have with this problem with my property. I'll pay the fee. You work out a deal, I'll pay it. But there has to be somebody know, there has to be some accountability on the provision before me. Whether it was the title company, we can roll the title company under the bus. I went and talked to them. I went and talked to this guy. I went to talk to that guy. I talked to the previous owner. She has not had a cow, a sheep, or a horse on that property since 2018. And when I called Diane and I asked her about the greenbelt, being proactive, not reactive, trying to find out what I need to do. Yeah, we're going to do a dirt bike track. Yeah, we're going to donate this time to these kids to ride in the arena. Yeah, we have a high-pitched baseball team that 60 kids come in every single week. And you take the emotion out of it, like you said. You take the emotion out of it. But there has to be some accountability of like, okay, Chris is taking it on the chin. He's paying X amount each month for this property. Okay, when my boys go to college, I'm going to sell the property. I'm going to develop it. I'm going to do something else. That's the conversation I had with Diane Garcia. The problem is she admittedly told me that she drove past this for years. I went back to Christine that I bought it from and said, do you have the records so that I can at least have something for my notes, for these notes, that there is something in Greenbelt? Chris, there hasn't been an animal on that property since 2018. Basically hangs up on me. That's your problem. That's all I'm getting at. If I have to pay the $87,000, trust me, I've taken it on the chin for more than 87 grand because of my name. Because of who I am. And you can look up my history. I've done right to this community. And this is all I'm asking is do right by what you're supposed to. And if I have to take it on the chin for 87 grand, I'll do it. But we all know, whether we want to talk about the elephant in the room or not, this property was not in Greenbelt in 2018. 2018. That's all I have to say. There hasn't been an animal on that since 2018. And if she drives by it every single day and admittedly tells me she drives by it 3-4 days a week and knows that there hasn't been an animal, there has to be some accountability. I don't care how much she has on her plate. If I notice a tire is going to blow on a customer, guess what? You can call my tire guy. Chris replaces all the tires before that crap happens. There has to be some accountability. And whether it starts with me or the next guy, I don't care. But there has to be some correction in this situation. Because the system is screwed up. And it's like 87 grand. It goes on to this guy and it goes on to that guy. It goes on to that guy. I pay $100,000 a month in sales tax. I pay $25,000 a month in property tax on this property. I pay 35 grand a month on my businesses. Like I understand where property tax goes. And I pay him just like everybody else. But that's all I'm saying is like, holy cow, this guy's taking it on the chin because of the kids and helping the kids. Yeah, we've had 2,000 kids go through that property in 4 months. Take the emotion out of it. There has to be some accountability in this situation. Whether we get upset, whether we get ticked off, whether we hate this girl or hate that, whatever. And I can't even tell you how many nights I've been up stewing over this. You can only probably only ask my wife. But I'm passionate about it and I'm not going to quit. And I even went to fill out the paperwork for the county commissioner because I was like, I want to make a difference. And I got a call halfway through the paperwork. Don't fill that paperwork out. Just because I'm passionate about the system moving forward. So whether I get it on the chin of 87 grand, we have to make a difference. When people are standing around your casket and you're dead, are they going to say, he made a difference? That's all I care about. There has to be some accountability. Whether I have to pay the 87 grand, I hope we can work out a payment plan. I hope we can. Because I don't have 87 grand just sitting around. Not for property taxes. I just paid you guys $62,000 in property taxes on my house and my businesses. A man's got to recover, but I appreciate you. I really appreciate your time.
Thank like you, Chris.
All of you. Thanks.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Please tell us your name for the record.
Jemima Street. So I just took a couple of notes just because I knew I'd be nervous getting up here, but thank you guys for taking the time today. So I won't go over it too much, but admittedly, again, the county knew that it was a problem. Anybody in Spanish Fork knows and seen that property has seen that it has not been used And so why is it taking, again, if she knew that it was an issue, why is it taking the trigger of somebody buying it and trying to turn it into something that benefits the entire community? You said 87,000 was going to be passed on to all the taxpayers, but it's not like we're actually taking $87,000 from taxpayers. This is money that is not already there. So you're not essentially putting that on single moms. And myself as a mom who has a son that is trying to better himself in a sport that there's not facilities available. It's hard to find, whether it's motocross or equestrian. Even though Spanish Fork is very much agricultural, it is very hard to find public facilities that will open up to the public. You can't find them. This is such an important thing for our community, not just motocross, but also in the equestrian as well, with it having a barn. And if we don't continue to develop these kids in loving, you know, the equestrian world, how are you going to continue the next generation to do agricultural things if they're not able to have a place where they can safely go and develop these skills? So not only that, but the county and the cities give tax breaks to companies all the time to bring them in. Like if you have somebody that wants to put a movie and film it in Spanish Fork, you give them tax breaks. Because why? Because you want them to come into the community and spend money within the community. We have a place for our kids to go and race. This is putting money and more taxpayer dollars in all the surrounding businesses that rely on motocross, on horses, all the things that there's not the opportunity for them to go and do everywhere else, like there is for baseball, basketball, pickleball, all the different things that we invest in as taxpayers that go on our back. But now you have a man coming in here wanting to help the community, and this is being thrown at him when it was a known issue before. That's where I have the problem, and I just hope that the county will take a look at that and realize that you give breaks all the time. Why not to somebody that is a member of the community that is trying to better his community and help kids out?
Thank you. Thanks, Jemima. Anyone else?
Hey, my name is Dallas Jackman. What I want to know is, we were so quick to say you owe us $87,000. We're willing to talk about a payment plan for that. Are we willing to talk about steps that he could do to put it back towards Greenbelt?
So during public comment, it's not a public hearing, so we don't engage. So you can ask that question and somebody will get back to you.
Well, that's just something to think about, because, you did something wrong? Here's your fine for $87,000. Meanwhile, everything's racking up. Interest is racking up. Penalties are racking up. Well, let's do something to benefit everybody and keep this land so it can be used for the community, for the kids.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'd entertain a motion. We're going to go into closed session now. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back in our regular meeting. One last motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, got a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, everyone.
All right, I'll go back. Thank you, Tom.
Did you? Okay.
And you get to sign a bunch of crap.
Have a good one.
Yep.
Well, he was having it. You could tell that he kept cutting out. Yeah, yeah. So I thought, I'm not going to have him keep calling. In this, no way. Okay, if I'm going to do this a little bit of time.
Hey, well, thanks for the help.
This is the ordinance that was approved today.
Unavailable via email.
I haven't seen you for a long time.
I'm still here.
That was the chair.
Yeah, and that's until I
was
The rest of this is the reinvestment.
Okay. Like in this time, before I get a staff member, when I have a staff member, I mean, I'm never going to be on the bill anyway, but on the off chance that I am,
there's this guy.
I'm going to take true vacation.
It's better than the fever. So.
I haven't had it.
My guy, you know when you get the right color, man.
Oh yeah, you don't. Know.
If you were guys need to go to construction meeting, that's your beat.
Boxes of boxes.
Don't leave the country.
All of these are
yeah. If there's any issues, sorry, I'm on the police, and she was fine, but it's okay. Addressed his concerns.
Yep. Yeah, the application in there is right. Although I just went in. That's okay. All right,
Admiral.
Your oldest is a boy.
Uh-huh. How old is he?
17.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's always funny. It's like, and I love basketball. You know, maybe you know, but I'm a basketball junkie.
No, I didn't. You have told me. You have told me. That's why I'm asking.
And so,
this is how I look.
Well, I just need to know, especially when we go to do notary. You told me that you just wanted Brandon Gordon, but you're signing with Brandon B.
Oh, is that going to be a problem?
So,
do you want to keep the B in there?
I'm saying, do you want to put the B in?
Oh, I signed everything with the B.
Okay, we've got to change it to B from now on.
You might not be able to tell on those ones, but like that.
That one was really obvious.
Really goes.
I'm just saying, if I have to notarize, it'll come right back on me.
Yeah.
So
I need to sign it.
We'll okay. So I'll change everything and I'll send out an email to everybody to say from now on change to Brandon.
I need you guys. Everyone's gonna be really irritated.
That's good. Hey, that's what I do.
Not as much as Tom's. Okay. I don't know how we got Thomas K.
I know.
And for the longest time we had Thomas K. Sakovich going all over the place. I don't know where that came from.
I started that.
Was it you? I was wondering who in the heck it was.
Because there were times where I was like, wait, is it Lee or K? Because it's like
might be.
That's okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I
get that back on here.
I think I might have put a K in there. I saw it. That's why I questioned it.
Yeah.
But
Josh,
the boys won.
Josh was the worst.
Yeah.
Wow, we really swept you guys then because the girls won.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter is a freshman, and she's just she's been climbing the ladder all year. Like she started out playing sophomore and like sitting the bench on junior varsity, and then she started junior varsity, and then she started sitting on the varsity bench, and then she started a varsity game.
All right.
And she's like, yeah, but she's been climbing the.
So the Don's got within three, and my principal son, Gage Christensen, he's not a tall kid, but he's a good three-point shooter, and he kept trying to make a couple of them, and it just didn't fall through.
Sometimes they don't fall, but it's always funny because girls' varsity plays.
So then the
girls' varsity plays.
Thank you again, Amelia, for all your help so quickly on
this. There's going to be times where what's best for you is all best for the council.
Let's going to send him an email, and we'll switch it over, and then he'll just get with me to say, hey, everything that we need to do. Yep. And do you want to clear it with Aaron to let him know that you came and talked to me
today and let him know,
and that we looked at the space and we were able to find a space, and the only issue was going to be just paying for the move.
but it shouldn't be an issue because we approved for him to use his existing budget that he's not using for postage to pay for the move.
Now that you might not want. You might fight me and say, well, then you don't need to move.
My answer will be no. You all move anyway.
Thanks for
that. Thank you.
See you
guys.
See ya.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm negotiable, I'm workable. Yeah. I mean, net and remote guys, if they get the county to do it and charge the interest on it, bullshit. You guys say, we're not doing it until you can prove it.